This morning, on this Mother's Day, turn with me as we look at the law. Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Some say that motherhood is a burden to be avoided at all cost. Many in our culture say that it's oppressive, that it holds women back from being and achieving their full potential. But I came across a couple of short stories that I think, well, they certainly differ with the average opinion, especially among the progressives in our midst. A junior high science teacher lectured one day on the properties of the magnet, and he did this for the whole class period. The next day, he gave his class a quiz. The very first question on the quiz went this way. My name begins with an M. I have six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Well, you've already captured the thought. Over half the kids in the class said, mother. A few years before that, 600 college students were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language. 422 out of 600 wrote, mother. Motherhood is obviously important to most of their kids anyway, irregardless of what the progressives tell us today. And as I've been saying, motherhood is seen as essential in the Bible, an essential job. Imagine that. Lots of jobs, and I don't have enough time to, and I don't even know if I know all the things that moms do. So I'm just going to focus on the fact that God has called the women in our lives to teach the scriptures, to prepare their children for following God, and to be an example of Jesus' love for us. Now, having said that, I know that that's true of all godly women. Those requirements are to all of us, whether you have children or not, to fall into those categories of being an example of Christ's love, to teaching the word to our little ones. And we make that vow every time we baptize an infant, that we as a congregation will take that under our wing to help with that. But while our country spins out of control and the family unit continues to break down in so many parts of our country, it is the Bible and the Bible alone that lifts up the family, but also exalts the place of motherhood by God's design. So read with me Exodus 20, verse 12. You're very familiar of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Pray with me. Almighty God, once again, we have a tendency to pray for lots of things to give thanks for, but we don't always stop and thank you for our parents, our mothers and our fathers. Sometimes there's reasons for that, and yet those reasons don't matter because this is a command. And so, Father, I pray this morning your word would move us and challenge us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother's Day, and the preacher is preaching from the law. What's that about? In most churches, in most groups, not so much this group, but in most places, when the law is brought up, people get uncomfortable with the law. They don't like to talk about the law, specifically the Ten Commandments. Really, you want to get people up really uncomfortable, say, what's the fifth commandment, or what's the third commandment, or what's, don't ask them the numbers. Don't even ask them to repeat the commandments. But it's the one thing that enables us to answer so many questions as Christians. We're always wanting to know what God's will is for our lives. Well, here's 10 that make it abundantly clear. And yet they make us uncomfortable for many reasons. God says in verse 2 for us to consider what's going on before we get to this part. He says, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This passage alone clearly shows that these commandments, these and what will come afterwards, the precepts, the teachings, the testimonies, all of that is given to us for our good. He says, I am the Lord, your God. Just like we've talked about when we've gone through Proverbs, Solomon keeps saying, hear my son, defining our identity for us over and over and over again. Now, we know that all the children of Israel weren't saved, but we also know that there was a remnant within them. So when he says, I am your God, covenantally he speaks for the whole group, but specifically he speaks for the elect. I am the Lord your God. He claims these people as his own when he delivered them from bondage. In fact, he didn't even give them the law until after he delivered them. Delivered them by his grace and for his glory. Now, these are not laws of works righteousness. For his elect, for his children, they are laws of faith. Laws of faith that enables us to produce that which brings God glory. Enables us by faith to do as God directs, given the promises of deliverance in his covenant of grace. So what we have before us, as I said before, is 10 commandments. Or we could look at it from a different perspective. Every one of us grew up in a house, and in most cases, we all had family rules, the do's and don'ts of that family. Well, I'm not trying to denigrate the commandments, and yet the greatest love story that we have is wrapped up in those commandments. Do these things, and you'll experience the love of God. Now, as non-believers, we can't. But as believers, we can. That's the great news of this whole belief. It's a household of rule for the believers so that we can do exactly what God has told us to do. What is our purpose in life? To glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is his grace. He doesn't leave us to wonder how our faith is to work out. Now, what does all that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, let's get to the commandment. The commandment states clearly, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. You know, especially if you listen to pundits today, you would think that the God of the Old Testament hated women. You would think that because it's taught and we're told that God shows his separation between men and women in the Old Testament, they don't have anywhere near the number of rights that men have. And yet, where does he place them in this command? Equal to the man. No culture, no books, no place in history do we see the type of equality that God directs in this passage with the mother and the father. Nowhere in culture. It's important for us to recognize that. From the very beginning, God has seen the place of believing women as equal to those of believing men. Just like no Jew and Gentile, no man and woman before the Lord himself. There's no difference there. So our text this morning tells us that in this life as well, there's no higher vocation than that being a parent. This vocation above all the rest is listed in God's top 10. Martin Luther said it this way about the fifth commandment. God has given this walk of life, fatherhood and motherhood, a special position of honor, higher than any walk of life under it. He distinguishes father and mother above all persons on earth and all places, and places them next to his heart. For these commandments, as I've said, these commandments reveal God's character and his heart for his own. Now think about it a minute. What's the job of a teacher? What's the job of a teacher, Phyllis? Pardon me? To teach and keep the kids safe. Okay? That's the job. I mean, it's a little bit bigger than that, but that's a little bit. But what's the ultimate purpose of that? To support the family, to train children, to guide children as our mother and father's representatives to do that. What's the point of political officials? In this culture, we've been told that the government tells us how to raise our children, but the point of government is to support families, to protect families, to enable mothers and fathers to be mothers and fathers, to do what they were designed to do. So whether you're a teacher or you're a public official, the reality is that all of that, according to the Bible, all of those different vocations are meant to support this vocation, which is the highest of all vocations, motherhood and fatherhood, according to this placement in the commandment. We don't see anything else being talked about in the way that this is talked about. And folks who can't have children and those who have already raised their children, they're not to be devalued just because it says this. We all are one in Christ. Parents, people who believers are equal image bearers before God and as redeemed, we're equally redeemed. What the scriptures teach is that the job of parenting is the most important of any other job. And it's a gift from God. But our world and many in the church don't see it that way. They tell our women over and over again, motherhood is a hindrance. Children will only hold you back. If you want nice things, if you want a career, you got to limit your other choices. What do these voices offer women? The right to choose life, which is no choice biblically at all. That's what they offer. That's all they offer. But the truth is, children are not an interruption. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. They are a blessing. Nothing adds to an adult's life more than children out in this life. According to Scripture, all married couples ought to strive for the vocation of motherhood, for it is the highest vocation that a married couple, husband and wife, can be called to. God calls men and women to various jobs, all important. But as I said before, once again, all of that is created to support the role of husband and mother, father and mother. None of that are jobs. Nothing else matters above that. God calls us to honor fathers and mothers in the same way that he calls us to honor the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman for life. God's definitions, God's commands are to be upheld by all people equally. Without exception, no negotiation. Amen, right? As we were talking about in Sunday school. And without redefinition, which we so are prone to do. Martin Luther again said, honoring father and mother is a much higher thing than even love. Honor includes not only love, but also deference, humility, modesty directed towards a majesty concealed within them. I wish I was smart enough to talk like that. A majesty concealed within them. Think about that. The vocation of motherhood is adorned with a majesty concealed within her. The blood of Christ has lifted her up and given her a calling above all people, in a sense. But the calling set alongside complementing the role of fatherhood, together they're able to raise children in the image of God. But that majesty is somewhat concealed, especially to the non-believer. They don't understand the role that God has given to the parent. They don't want to understand the role that God has given to the parent. They say pursue other things, chase after other things. Things is what makes you happy. And like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, please don't hear me say that women shouldn't work outside the home. I'm not saying that. The Bible is very clear, though, that the greatest vocation in the world is not found in the world. The greatest vocation is not found in the world. It's found in the hungry eye of an infant. It's found in the inquisitive stare of a child. It's found in the gaze of a youth. The independence of a young man or a young woman stepping out for the first time, having been prepared by their parents to stand up to the world. After all, honoring your father and mother comes as the first command with a promise that it may go well with you. As parents, as mothers and fathers, this is what we desire for our children. And it can be accomplished only by teaching them his word and his law, which we have a tendency to always back away from. God has given us mothers, for they, along with fathers, are made to shape and mold the souls for time and eternity. We are God's instruments to do that work, which will shape them for the world around them. When we take that role that's been defined by God seriously, a mother's calling, along with the father, is the greatest and highest vocation in all the earth. Mothers teach many godly virtues. They do that throughout our childhood, and then they try to reinforce them when we're teenagers and we don't pay attention. And then we realize when we're older that, hey, they really made sense. Or Jim would say, you know, my dad looked a lot smarter than he did 25 years ago. We see that. And the reality is real in how they change us, guide us, and direct us. And sometimes we're so hard-headed we don't see it until years later. But it's important for us to understand the kind of things they teach us. And I so appreciate a Christian comedian I heard years ago. He talks about mothers. He says, they taught us to pray. You remember your mom saying, you better pray that stain gets lifted out of the carpet. He goes on and says, mothers instilled a sense of imagination in us. Don't do that again. What's the word? Or else what? We're left to imagine what that or else is. Mothers teach us a sense of anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. And then they have the audacity to combine these things of self-control and imagination. Don't touch anything at their house or else. What do we do with that? And my favorite, she taught us to count at least to three, right? Or maybe to two if you're really good. One, two, and see, most of you stopped. Not me. I had to go to three. So I got to learn how to do three. All kidding aside. Those are just the small things. God has elevated the role of motherhood and fatherhood so that we would understand the kind of gift that he wants to give from his heart to us, to the world. Parenthood is that type of a gift. It comes directly from his heart, or he wouldn't have put it in the Ten Commandments. So as a church, we need not step back when people denigrate parenthood. Specifically, motherhood. We need to step up and stand up and recognize this is not a Hallmark Sunday. This is God's word that motherhood is an essential product of God's gifting to the church. Fatherhood is the only other vocation that rises to that same level. There's no greater vocation, for it is God's chosen means to bring children into the world. It is also his chosen means to grow those children in the Lord as an example and a gift to him to bring him glory. That is motherhood by God's design. Happy Mother's Day. Pray with me. Almighty God, we are grateful for the day, but we're more grateful for the word. A word that reminds us of what is closest to your heart in those Ten Commandments. And we rejoice that you bring motherhood and fatherhood, marriage, in such a upfront and personal way to remind us of the gift, the importance, and how we are to uphold it with everything that we are by your design. In Jesus' name, amen.